Next item on the agenda is item number 6, Brian's Cove Developers, LLC, number 20-0256. Who's handling this matter?
Good morning. This is Allison Lay.
Ms. Lay.
And I will be presenting this.
Thank you, Ms. Lay. Do you solemnly swear the testament you're about to give before the commission to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, please, ma'am.
All right, so Brian's Cove Developers is requesting authorization to construct 5 riprap outfalls, 3 of which are after the fact, approximately 240 linear feet of after-the-fact riprap revetment, and an 8-foot-wide by 45-foot-long pier with a 36-foot by 36-foot covered pavilion at property on a man-made cove of Deep Creek in the city of Chesapeake. And this project requires a tidal wetlands permit. Next slide. So the project is located in Chesapeake, just south of I-64 near the high-rise bridge. Next slide. The project is located within a man-made cove off of Deep Creek. In this image, you can see the neighborhood development that is surrounding the project. This is an old aerial, and this section of the neighborhood is almost completed now. Next slide. This drawing shows the location of each outfall around the edge of the cove, as well as where the riprap revetment was placed and where the pier and pavilion will be placed. I will go over the impacts from each aspect of the project, starting with outfall number 1. Next slide. In these drawings, the mean high water line is shown in red, the mean low water line is shown in blue, and the vegetated tidal wetland areas are shown in green. The first outfall will impact 162 square feet of vegetated wetlands. Next slide. This photo shows the first outfall. The existing riprap is in the uplands, and it will be extended to the mean low water line, which will impact vegetated tidal wetlands. Next slide. Outfall 2 and 3 are both after the fact. The second outfall is currently impacting 150 square feet of vegetated wetlands, and it will impact an additional 327 square feet once it is extended to the mean low water line. The third outfall is currently impacting 51 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands, and it will impact an additional 199 square feet once it is extended. Next slide. This picture is of the second outfall, showing where the riprap has fallen into the vegetated wetlands. Next slide. This photo shows the third outfall, which is currently impacting non-vegetated wetlands. Next slide. Outfall number 4 is also after the fact, and the outfall impacts 164 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands. Next slide. This is a photo of the fourth outfall, and as you can see, it's within the riprap revetment. Next slide. The fifth and last outfall will impact 182 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands and will also impact 10 square feet of vegetated wetlands. Next slide. This photo uplands and will be extended to mean low water, causing the impacts of vegetated
Ms. Lay, we're losing you. You need to start over on this slide, and please start over again. I don't know if it's your cell phone or what, but please start with the description of this slide again.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's okay.
So this slide shows a photo. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. So this slide shows a photo of the last outfall where the riprap is currently in the uplands and will be extended to mean low water, impacting both vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands. All right, next slide. This is a typical cross-section drawing for all of the outfalls. And this just shows that the outfalls will all extend to the mean low water line. Next slide. This is a drawing of the riprap revetment that is currently impacting approximately 265 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands, just at the very channelward edge of the riprap revetment. And the next picture on the next slide shows the riprap revetment, and this photo was taken at low tide. And then the next slide shows the riprap revetment taken at high tide, which has the channelward edge of the riprap underwater. Next slide. This is a plan view and cross-section drawing for the pier and covered pavilion. The pier will cross 187 square feet of vegetated wetlands and will be a minimum of 4 feet above the wetland substrate. The covered pavilion will be constructed in the man-made cove and therefore does not need a subaqueous permit from VMRC. Next slide. There will be a total of 649 square feet of vegetated wetland impact from the placement of riprap for the outfalls. 150 square feet of this will be after the fact, and then there will be the additional 187 square feet of vegetated wetland that will be crossed from the pier. There will be 871 square feet of non-vegetated wetland impact. 480 of this will be after the fact. The applicant is prepared to purchase 649 square feet of mitigation credits from the New Mill Creek Tidal Mitigation Bank for impacts to the vegetated wetlands. Next slide. The applicant did receive other permits for construction, including the City of Chesapeake issued CBPA approval on November 21st, 2017 for the roads, outfall pipes, and riprap. And this included the first four outfalls, the one issued in 2019 included the last outfall. So that was a separate one when they expanded the development a little bit. The Army Corps of Engineers issued a permit on April 1st, 2020, and that included the Nationwide Permit 7, which was for the outfalls, as well as the Regional Permit 18 for the pier and pavilion. Yesterday afternoon, we also received two general permits from DEQ that were issued in 2017 for impacts to non-tidal wetlands in the development area. Next slide. Since this application contains after-the-fact authorization, civil charges will need to be assessed. Each structure is being considered as a separate violation. So I'll start with outfall number two, which has impacted 150 square feet of vegetated tidal wetlands. The impact for this outfall was considered significant since the riprap resulted in vegetated tidal wetland loss, and staff would have recommended avoiding the vegetated tidal wetlands area had an application been submitted before construction. The degree of deviation or noncompliance was considered major, since the development company has an environmental team that obtained other required permits for the project but failed to submit a joint permit application. Accordingly, staff recommends a $10,000 civil charge for this violation. Next slide. Outfall number three has impacted 51 square feet of non-vegetated tidal wetlands. The impact for this outfall was considered moderate since the riprap impacts non-vegetated wetlands. The degree of deviation or noncompliance was considered major for the same reason listed for outfall number two. Accordingly, staff recommends a $9,000 civil charge for this violation. Next slide. Outfall number four has impacted 164 square feet of non-vegetated tidal wetlands. The impact for this outfall was considered moderate, and the degree of deviation or noncompliance was considered major for the same reason listed for outfall number three. Accordingly, staff also recommends a $9,000 civil charge for this violation. Next slide. The riprap revetment placed along the shoreline of the cove to protect a roadway was found to impact approximately 265 square feet of non-vegetated tidal wetlands. The impact for the riprap revetment was considered moderate since the riprap impacts non-vegetated wetland areas. The degree of deviation or noncompliance was considered major since the applicant failed to keep the riprap outside of the jurisdictional wetland area. Accordingly, staff also recommends a $9,000 civil charge for this violation. The applicant is requesting to move the riprap outside of the wetlands in lieu of paying this civil charge specifically. Next slide. Staff understands that the subdivision has been constructed with the current outfall location, and therefore it would be difficult to move to avoid vegetated tidal wetland impact. We believe that the applicant should have submitted a joint permit application before starting construction so that the site could have been properly assessed by staff for potential impact. Staff believes that the payment of civil charges and purchase of mitigation credits is appropriate to compensate for the impact to tidal wetlands. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1302-10B of the Code of Virginia and the Wetlands Mitigation Compensation Policy and Supplemental Guidelines, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed, conditioned upon the purchase of wetland credits at the New Mill Creek Tidal Mitigation Bank necessary to replace the loss of 649 square feet of tidal vegetated wetlands. And staff additionally recommends that the commission assess a total civil charge of $37,000 for the four unauthorized impacts to tidal wetlands. This concludes my presentation. I'll take any questions at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Lay. Is there any questions by members of the commission?
John Zedrin, I have a question.
Mr. Zedrin, please proceed.
What is the developer's position on your recommendation?
The developer is not in agreement with our civil charge assessment, and they would like to make their case to lower that charge.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions by members of the commission?
Yes, I have a question.
Mr. Tankard, proceed.
You mentioned this is an outfall project, essentially. What will be coming out of these outfalls besides water?
Ms. Lake?
They are stormwater outfalls, so they contain water runoff from the neighborhood development. So anything that would be able to get into the drainage would be able to fall into the outfall. The applicant has told me that they have other BMPs in place, but they would be able to speak more specifically on that.
Christina is available to speak, if you'd like her to.
John Zedrin, I have another question.
Follow up, Mr. Zedrin.
If they did not put these outfalls in, what would happen to the water when it would rain on that land without the water, the outfalls?
They could have potentially designed the stormwater system differently, but if there was no stormwater, I imagine there may be some flooding problems. I'm not exactly sure where the water would run.
Yes, sir, Mr. Zedrin.
So, if they didn't put these outfalls in the way they did, wouldn't the rain, when it fall, would be washing the sediment and stuff from that land into the river?
Well, Mr. Zedrin,
it could have been all new development.
Yeah, Mr. Zedrin, I would presume that just like any other flow of water, would ultimately gravitate to the area of the lowest altitude or slope. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear about the best management practices they have in place as well, such as sedimentation ponds or anything like that. This appears to me to be a straight pipe effect right off the roads and right into the Elizabeth River. But I'm not going to make that assumption or presumption until I hear from the applicant. Further questions? Members of the commission?
Chad Ballard, and is the outfalls after the fact portion or the riprap associated with them after the fact as well?
The question. Did you hear the question correctly, Ms. Lay?
No, it was breaking up.
The question was, would you like to repeat it, Mr. Ballard? You were breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
It's still a little bit broken. We can try.
Is the riprap revetments after the fact as well, or just the outfalls themselves?
It is the riprap associated with the outfalls that is after the fact. The outfall pipes themselves are outside of the wetlands board jurisdiction line. It is the riprap placed at the base of the outfalls that will require authorization.
Further questions by members of the commission? Okay, there being none, is the applicant present or represented?
Yes, this is Christine Early. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we hear you well. Ms. Early, do you solemnly swear the testimony you provide today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Please proceed. And who do you represent?
I represent the developer, Exeter Development.
Okay. Are you a member of that company, or are you independent?
I'm an employee of the company.
Okay. Please proceed. Thank you, ma'am.
I live here locally in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
First, I would like to address the BMPs. We designed a site with five BMPs, and they're enormous. They run along the entire power line, which runs through the center of the development. And then we have planned outfalls along the coast, but there was significant runoff, and we actually had to install these outfalls as an emergency procedure. And I would like to note that we received approval through BMRC staff for the location of the riprap outside of the wetlands, and we designed it according to plan. We verified that. And since then, that riprap has slumped down on its own because of wave action and erosion in the cove. We did design it correctly and according to plan outside of the wetlands, but between the erosion, the wave action, and gravity, the riprap kind of slumped down.
Well, then one could beg the question, you said you designed it correctly, yet the riprap is falling into the waterway. Wouldn't that tend to indicate that maybe it was not designed correctly?
Well, right. We followed what our engineer and Bay Environmental suggested, and we would like to fix it, obviously, right away, but we're afraid to do anything at this point. But we can easily have it removed and placed back, and we're looking at other things to stabilize the area better. We just had no idea that the erosion was so bad there.
So then, so that I understand before I ask any further questions, are you saying that you're willing to come back now and file a joint permit application with the Marine Resources Commission to correct this matter and let the staff review that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we are willing to do that. We have a lot of heavy boat traffic. We didn't expect that. We have our community. They complain about this boat traffic all the time. It's supposed to be a private cove, but people have been going in there boating for years, and they speed in there. And also along the Elizabeth River, they're speeding right next to the cove, and it affects, you know, the wave action in the cove.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Questions by members of the commission for the gentle lady.
I have a question. John Zedrin.
Mr. Zedrin, proceed.
How long is this going to anticipate if we were to allow you to do that, to, you know, get it right, how long do you anticipate it would take?
We can get the work done very fast. It's just the permitting part.
Can you give me a timeline, like months? After the permit's issued, how many months?
To complete the work?
Yes.
We can have it done within the month. I can get it done within a couple weeks.
Mr. Zedrin, I'd like to ask Mr. Watkinson, Chief of Habitat, to comment on this matter, if it would be appropriate. Mr. Watkinson?
Yes, sir. It sounds like that what we're hearing about moving is the riprap revetment, the 240-foot long section, and removing that from the wetland edge. As you saw in Allison's photos, the few feet of the toe of that revetment is in tidal wetlands. So the applicant, or Ryan's Cove, is proposing to remove that. You're right, we would need to see an application to excavate that material, how it would be proposed to be pulled out of the marsh, and what might be done to, you know, stabilize that area that's disturbed as a result of the removal of the rock. I do want to make sure that, though, that it might, and we might need to hear from the applicant here, that this removal that they're talking about, I don't think that's applies to the outfall structures themselves.
No, we're just talking about the riprap.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, any further questions by members of the commission before I weigh in? Because I'm looking at this.
We also have an agent for the permittee, Jim Cahoon, which would like to speak. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Cahoon, would you like to speak?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Cahoon here. Jim Cahoon from Bay Environmental.
Mr. Cahoon, do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Proceed, Mr. Cahoon.
I thank you for the opportunity in these very difficult times with this technology. Appreciate it very much. A couple of points I'd like to make. As the environmental consultant for this project, we have I've personally been involved in the project since 2003. There were multiple proposals for development of this property. And we went through many, many iterations of wetland permitting, reducing our non-tidal wetland impact and at the same time avoiding tidal wetland impact. In 2017, we did submit that permit application, and BMRC staff reviewed that and authorized through their no permit required letter that it was the appropriate thing to do. The riprap outfall protection was installed, originally designed to stop at an elevation of 3 foot, which was above any vegetated tidal wetlands. So we were doing what everybody tells us to do, avoid impact. Through no fault of the applicant, there was significant erosion associated not only with those outfalls, but natural erosion within this cove. If you don't know the history of that particular cove, that was the burrow pit for the original high-rise bridge in Interstate 64. So it's a sand, very sandy soils, and that's where they got sand to build the approaches for that bridge. So we have erodible soils. In trying to avoid wetland impact, there are many times when design has to make some concessions. If you want to avoid wetland impact, you've got to stop your riprap outfall protection short, and that's what was done. As it eroded, riprap spilled into wetlands, and that's where we had the unauthorized impact. We have submitted the joint permit application to address these issues. That's what's currently under review. What we're trying to do is fix it right this time and carry that outlet protection down to mean low water. Almost every case we've seen where we have to design by regulation, and that's my mentor Walter Priest's term, it's not always the right thing to do to avoid wetland impact. In this case, we had a lot of other moving parts with the development, with our non-tidal wetland impacts, and that's where we ended up. So now we have an after-the-fact situation. We're trying to do the right thing. The permit application has been submitted for those impacts, and that's why we're here. The riprap revetment, we coordinated very closely with staff prior to the installation of that to ensure that there was no impact. There was concurrence from both the Corps of Engineers and from VMRC for that. Because of erosion, it appears that the riprap revetment has slumped, which has pushed it channelward of that 1.2-foot contour, which is the mean high water line in the Elizabeth River. And that's where we have impact there. We're working on a plan with the applicant to remove the very toe of that, to remove that impact. So I wanted to address the reason VMRC has, staff has suggested that the degree of noncompliance is major is because their environmental consultant didn't tell them to do the right thing. Well, that's not the case. We told them to do the right thing. Avoid wetland impacts. Avoid tidal wetland impacts. We did that. It's eroded. Now we have tidal wetland impacts. And that's a design issue. The stormwater system was reviewed by the state. It was reviewed by the city and approved. And that's where we've ended up. So I disagree that it's a major noncompliance. The impact may be moderate or significant, but for many, many years, this development has been planning and trying to do the right thing. So through natural causes, we now have an impact. I don't see that as a major noncompliance. That's not a knowing, intentional noncompliance issue. So I've said my piece with respect to that. And I stand by for any questions. Again, I've worked on this project since 2003. This is actually the third developer to work on the site to finally get a project to fruition. And I stand by for any questions.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Kuhn. Any questions of Mr. Kuhn, my members of the commission?
John Zedrin here.
Mr. Zedrin, proceed, please.
You said that this was reviewed by VMRC staff. Who are you talking about?
Ms. Lay indicated that the staff recommending the civil charges considered it a major noncompliance.
No, you said that in the development of this project, you had contacted VMRC staff and had gone over these plans. Who are you talking
about?
Yes,
sir. So in two instances there, the original permit application, which was submitted in 2017, which did not have tidal wetland impacts, was reviewed by Rachel Peabody on staff, and she issued the no permit required letter. The riprap revetment, the same. Rachel reviewed that, and we discussed back and forth with her for the installation of the riprap revetment.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Zedrin, I think in this situation we may be talking, in all due respect, apples and oranges. When staff reviewed, if I understand it correctly, the project, it was going to be placed correctly in a manner in which it should. However, things have occurred that have brought the riprap and such revetments into violation. So that was then, this is now, for lack of a better way of putting it, I think. Further questions by members of the commission?
Ms. Everett said she'd like to speak.
I'm sorry, Ms. Everett?
Ms. Everett said she'd like to speak.
Ms. Everett?
Yes, I was just hoping to hear from staff a little bit more in response to Mr. Cahoon's comment about, this is in response to natural causes. It seems like, given the damage that's occurred, that the tidal mitigation bank recommendation by staff, and I believe the civil charges do seem very justified. So I just wanted to, if I could, hear a reaction to Mr. Cahoon's comments in terms of kind of the sequence of events.
If I may, Chairman, this is Jim Cahoon.
Mr. Cahoon?
I'd also remind Ms. Everett that her husband worked on this project.
What?
I can recuse myself if needed. I think my husband worked at Bay Environmental maybe 10 or 15 years ago. I'm happy to stop making comments or recuse myself. I was not aware of that. I'm surprised about that, but again, I defer to you, Commissioner Bowman, and how you'd like me to proceed.
Yes, ma'am. I think you should recuse, and I think the commission should not consider the last question made by Ms. Everett at this time. Further questions by members of the commission?
I have a question that with regard to the outfall of what the applicant believes will be coming out of those pipes and what he's doing to mitigate for what comes out of those pipes.
Okay. Mr. Cahoon, do you want to respond to that, or do you want the applicant to respond?
I can address it, and then if Christine has any follow-up.
Okay.
So the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality's stormwater management regulations dictate what comes out of these pipes. And the neighborhood, just like every other neighborhood, was designed in accordance with those regulations. There are best management practices on the development as required by that stormwater management regulation. So it's residential stormwater that comes out of these pipes after, where appropriate, runs through the best management practices, just like every other neighborhood and every other residential outfall.
Further question?
No, sir.
Thank you. Any further questions? Well, this is one of those cases where it's all in a matter of optics. Of course, this commission is not in a position to trying to make money off of mistakes that occur, but at the same time, if the mistakes that are made egregiously, then it's our codified responsibility to assess civil charges. I think the question lies is where do we want to end up at the end of the day with this project? I think Mr. Cahoon, I believe, has come to this commission a number of times. I am a little dismayed that if there was going to be some issue pertaining to a commission member and that issue was going to be brought up, it should have been brought up to my attention prior to testimony, but that's neither here nor there, other than the way that I feel about it. So I think staff has done their job and their due diligence as far as making an overall assessment of what they see, but then again, that assessment may be in the eyes of the beholder. So, that being said, the matter is before the commission for further discussion or action.
John Zedrin here.
Mr. Zedrin?
What gives me some problems with staff recommendation here is that, you know, when I heard the staff recommendation or the staff presentation, I felt that the developer did not contact VMRC, kind of did this in the dark, as we've seen a couple of those developments down in Chesapeake, and that, you know, it ranged into the egregious category. But here, we have professionals that contacted VMRC. We have VMRC staff looking at the plans, saying, hey, fine, you got the go-ahead, go to Corps Engineers, go to City of Chesapeake, go to all these other agencies and get all the approvals. And then if we can take the, you know, the developer side, as true, that everything was placed in accordance with, the plans. And then because of nature, you know, in this case, it was erosion. I mean, what if there was a big hurricane or a tornado or whatever that destroyed whatever it was that was supposed to be there? Then we find the developer liable for this $37,000. I think that's a little bit unfair. The developers stepped forward and said, look, you know, we're willing to, you know, get and pull this stuff back out and replant the vegetation and do the right thing. I don't know what else that the developer could do in this case.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Okay. Further comment? Members of the commission?
This is Chad Ballard. I tend to agree with Mr. Zedron. I do worry that there needs to be some sort of penalty because we are responsible for how we impact the tidal wetlands, whether it's an accident or whether it's not. There does need to be some sort of impact, but not necessarily to the major degree, because I agree with his kind of finding that there was not a whole lot of intent here.
Thank you, Mr. Ballard. Further members? Well, any further comment?
This is Dr. Neal. I'm familiar with that cove. I've caught plenty of speckled trout in that cove.
You didn't cause the erosion, did you?
No, sir. Once they started developing, once they turned off the hotness, we went fishing.
Yep.
I can't imagine this project the way it's happened. If it came before us, that we would have issued permits to do this. I think we would have come up with something better, and I think that's the problem. We've got a bunch of rocks and vegetated wetlands that we would not have approved. So we are talking about an after the fact situation here, and I guess I would like to have some follow up from staff.
The developer would like to speak.
No, not at this point. I understand the developer would like to speak, but that is not the appropriate rule of order that we have here. Mr. Watkinson, would you like to comment?
Yes, sir. I mean, what you've heard is the fact that we were contacted about some of the work prior to it being done, and we had reviewed some plans. We're just concerned that the material has been placed in marshes or has ended up in the wetlands. The outfall structures are quite extensive into the wetlands. Granted, the toe of the revetment is in the wetlands. It's not the whole thing, but it's hard to tell actually how much was erosion and how much occurred before they put it in, and it ended up being in our jurisdiction to begin with. So we're still quite concerned about the extent of the encroachments, the fact that they ended up in areas that should have been permitted and were not. And so that's really the basis of our concern. It is a large development, a lot of moving parts to it. I understand that they have done a lot of work to address their stormwater requirements and other wetland issues related to maybe non-tidal areas outside of our jurisdiction. But at the end of the day, we ended up with quite a bit of material in the marsh associated with several different structures there, four different structures, and as a result, we felt a significant civil charge was appropriate, and that's the reason for our recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Just as a follow-up to that, I think what we can beat this all day long, but at the end of the day, I think our responsibility is to ensure that these projects are done according to code and according to the best environmental standards that we possibly can. Throwing civil charges at them and things like that. And Mr. Cahoon, a question to you directly, and just to answer this question: how many times have you been before the commission?
Let's see. I began my career in '95, so I'd venture to guess at least once or twice or three times a year since then. So a good number, and I trust that the committee knows that. We're always looking to try to do it correctly.
Okay, that's all I need. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I guess my point is I believe in all likelihood that Mr. Cahoon would not have designed this project to suffer the what has occurred at the end of the day. and we need to get this project straightened out. There's no doubt that the wetlands need to be compensated for. They're destroyed. They need the mitigation bank aspect, and I think the 649 square feet of title vegetated wetlands ought to be replaced. That's my opinion. I can't make a motion. At the same time, I believe that if we go back to the drawing board and with the after-the-fact application and maybe to hold the feet to the fire and not approving the pier prior to the completion of the remediation might also be something to be considered. But I'll leave that up to the commission. Matters before the commission for action.
Ed Tankard, I tend to agree with many of your sentiments, Commissioner Bowman. I feel as though the project's been going on for some time. I think people need to be held accountable for doing it correctly, and I see that the limits of the project were pushed perhaps further than they should have been, and so I will make a motion for approval of staff recommendations.
Motion by Mr. Tankard to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Dr. Neal.
John Zegar, and I have a substitute motion.
Substitute motion by Mr. Zegar. What is the motion, Mr. Zegar?
Let me ask staff, what is the total amount of civil charge on the minimum side? Well, let me have that figure, if I can.
That's up to you, sir, but the matrix, I believe, minimum is $1,000. Is that correct?
Commissioner, this is Tony. Yes, if we could go back to one of the slides, we had the matrix up there. There you go.
There it is.
And you have the two axes on your chart here, the degree of impact, and then you have the degree of noncompliance or deviation from the regulatory requirements. So we consider both of those, the minimal amounts on each. In the left-hand corner, lower left-hand corner is 1,000, and up to 10,000 as the max in the upper right-hand corner.
All right, so what do we have, five areas that we're assessing civil penalties on?
Four.
Okay. All right. My substitute motion would be is to approve staff recommendation except for the penalty and put the penalty at the $2,000 rate. So that would be $8,000 for the total civil charge. And go along with what the commissioner says, that require that the that it be restored prior to the other development that the commissioner talked about.
Mr. Watkins, so do we have jurisdiction over the pier at this juncture? We do, don't we? The pier, but we don't have jurisdiction over the...
We have jurisdiction over the part of the pier that goes over the wetlands.
Right.
And to the extent that the pier could affect the wetlands, we do. We don't have jurisdiction related to submerged land since it's not state-owned bottom in that man-made canal. I would ask for one clarification from Mr. Zedron. He talked about remediation and correction. Are you referring to the channelward extent of the riprap revetment being removed as a restoration component rather than a permit action?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second to the motion? Motion fails for lack of a second. We return now to the original motion by Mr. Tankard to approve staff recommendation. Who seconded that motion? Dr. Neal? The chair will call the roll. Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zegar?
No.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Meyer?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Chair reluctantly votes no. Motion, and Ms. Everett abstained. Mr. France is absent. The motion passes 5-2. And now, thank you. I'd like to ask Ms. Block if she would weigh in. Ms. Block, can you now give us the circumstances upon which we now deal?
So, if this is to be a consent order, essentially, it has to have the consent of the person who committed the violations. If that person does not consent, then essentially this essentially proposed agreement, let's say, fails, and the commission's options are to take the company to court, at which point they can be subject to a civil penalty not to exceed $25,000 for each day of each violation. And we can seek an injunction to direct them to remove, tear down, or take other steps as are necessary to protect and preserve the subject property of the Commonwealth.
Thank you. Considering that, does the applicant agree to the civil charge of $37,000 at the present time as voted on by the commission and the other actions that were approved, the applicant?
Yes, unfortunately, we have to.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, everyone. Greatly appreciate that the record reflect that the applicant has agreed to the staff recommendations. Let's please try to get this project straightened out for the benefit of all. And Ms. Everett would like to make a comment now that this matter is over with. Ms. Everett, the floor is yours.
To you and fellow commissioners as well as staff for not realizing the connection here. My husband worked at Bay Environmental from 2003 to 2008, so left 12 years ago. I was not aware that he worked on this project from anywhere between the 12 and the 17 years ago. I'm now alerted to it. Thanks to Mr. Cahoon's noting, I am happy in future moving forward to, if there's any Bay Environmental project on the agenda, to cross-reference with my husband to see if it's something that he would have worked on at that time frame. It could happen. It obviously happened today. And apologize, I'm surprised very much by myself by it, but again, I will work extra diligently in the future to avoid such a conflict.
Ms. Everett, for the record, your credibility is impeccable. We know that you had nothing to do or no idea. I know you. I've known you for many years. I know full well that had you had any knowledge of this matter, you would have recused yourself immediately. Again, I wish it had come up in a different way. If it's a situation where someone knows that, I am very much dismayed with the way that the matter was handled, but that's my personal opinion. Thank you very much.